Praise the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful the move of the Spirit we feel, hallelujah, in here, and that we felt earlier, that's still here. The same Spirit of God is still in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's clap our hands. Praise the beautiful Holy Name. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the beautiful Holy Name. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful, so thankful, praise the Lord, for the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. And I want to thank those that are praying for us, hallelujah, that hear us with the CDs or around the country. We've been praying, hallelujah, for more faith. That's been our theme. Praise the Lord. And God is blessing, and we're seeing good things. Praise the Lord in the name of Jesus. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Praise the Lord. The Word of God. You may be seated. The Word of God. A lamp unto your feet. Think about if there wasn't electric lights. It wasn't it's dark night. No moon. No light. You don't know where you're stepping. You might be stepping in a big hole. You might be stepping on a snake. You might be stepping on a bug. Remember, they wore sandals back then. So this is an important thing. But the light, you know where you're going. God wants you to know where you're going. God does not want you stumbling in darkness. That's not why He gave His Word. Praise the Lord. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. I believe that God has given a good message tonight. Salvation. Now, all churches claim to have it. But if we look at what they're teaching, we see that many of them have starkly different requirements for salvation. Now, if you've got two groups of people saying opposite things, can both of them be right? If two groups are teaching opposite things, then at least one and possibly both of them are wrong. So what is a person to do to secure true biblical salvation? Praise the Lord. I believe that the safest path would be to simply obey what the apostles preached and practiced, basically to obey the Bible. Now, I know that the devil has got a lot of his PR folks, public relations, you know, the PR people. He's got his PR people teaching that the Bible is so complicated that you can't know it, so you might as well not even try. And if you fall for that, then he gotcha. You know, the little kids that play the game, they go, gotcha. Well, if you believe that, the devil's gotcha. It's over. If you fall for that junk that you, well, can't understand it, might as well not try. Hey, you're easy mark for the devil. That's just really just too easy. You're making it too easy for the devil if you go that route. You really are. Isaiah 35, verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. So, the Bible is to be understood. The Bible says it's simple. But it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. So, God did not give His Word to confuse or alienate people. He gave it to show us the way and give us true light and true understanding. And boy, this world is so looking for some light, looking for some understanding, and they're looking in all the wrong places. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we want true salvation, then we must look at what was taught by Jesus Christ, then preached upon His authority by Peter, then practiced by the apostles consistently. If we do that, we see two essential elements that make up the Christian new birth. And I'll let Jesus in His Word give you those. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Those essential elements are water and Spirit. And we should take note that a grown man was being told by God manifest in the flesh that he had to be born of water and that he had to be born of the Spirit. He was telling Nicodemus what he still had to do. He was talking to a grown man about what that grown man still had to do. He wasn't talking about no baby birth foolishness. He was talking about what a man needed to do. And how important this is. Hebrews 5 verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And I believe it's important that we remember who was being addressed and why by Jesus in anything that he said. Who was he talking to? Well, there he told a grown man that he still needed to be born of water and of the Spirit. We who are apostolic, or in other words, teach what the apostles taught, know that birth of the water is Jesus' name, water baptism. And glancing at Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so you wonder why the devil fights against this. That's why. The devil's PR folks who fight against the importance of Jesus' name baptism are not being honest with you or even themselves in many cases. And what else did Jesus say in Mark 16:16? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yet even with that verse, we still have the devil's crowd deceiving souls. Look at that verse. Is it telling you to do one thing or two things? And I'll give you a hint. Please carefully note God's choice of words when he said the word and. I'm going to try to break it down real simple. If mama sends you to the store and says to buy eggs and milk, does that mean that she only wants eggs? But yet people are still, the Bible says, I'm going to read that verse again, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We know that Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of God. Why reject what Peter did with those keys? I've actually had some of the more ignorant of the devil's PR guys try to teach people that Peter disobeyed Jesus. He said something like, well, I will take Jesus' words over Peter's any day. As if he was trying to justify, his own defiance to the Bible. But I think the devil is really fishing for fools in this hour. Think about that. If we can't trust the apostles, we have a big problem. Just who do the devil's PR guys think it was that kept track of what Jesus said? If you can't trust the apostles, how can you trust that they're, because they're the ones that told you what Jesus said. Do they really think that people are stupid enough to believe that Jesus just penned in those little red words himself? No, he had men. He had his apostles recording what he said. But the devil's servants out there really working hard, but speaking of them, I feel like I could point out something here. Notice that the Word of God does not necessarily teach tolerance towards these ministers of Satan. And I'll add in here, it doesn't mean how sweet talking, how they sugarcoat their poison. Yeah, they're still ministers of Satan. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So notice what role Satan's crew will try to play. They will pretend to be teaching righteousness. But they're going to be fake preachers. They're going to pretend to be Christian preachers. But let's get back to talking about Peter and Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How can the devil's servants figure that people will be so stupid that they think they can somehow reject Peter's teaching because their modern satanic preacher knows Jesus better? Satan's boys are really, really fishing for fools these days. make a slight adjustment here to this level, and then going to back to our study about salvation here. Praise the Lord. Yep, the devil's servants are basically fishing for fools. But back to the topic of salvation. Peter preached the apostolic salvation on the day of Pentecost, and the apostles adhered to it from then on. That's where we get the concept, apostolic Pentecostal. It's really very simple. Those who are preaching the apostolic message that the apostles preached are, ta-da, apostolic Pentecostal. Now, I know there are liars who claim to be, who aren't preaching the original message, but why would we be surprised that Satan's crew would lie? I mean, is he not the father of it? Read you something here in just a second that Jesus said to some people. Jesus said to some people one time, he said in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we don't need to be surprised when the devil's boys will lie. That's their job. But back to our salvation topic. We've established now that you can't reject Peter without rejecting Jesus, who is the one who gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So let's take a look at what Peter taught. In Acts 2, starting in Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, point out, it's there Peter and the rest of the apostles were there. But Peter stood up as the spokesman. Why? Because he was the man with the keys from Jesus. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, how can someone in their wildest imagination think that they are among the, quote, called of God when they reject the Acts 2:38 salvation that Peter preached on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody's not being honest with somebody out there. And let me point out something else here. We see that baptism is to be done in Jesus' name. Now, monotheists, that mean people that really believe in one God, have no problem with that. But Satan's polytheistic PR guys really stumble on that and so often expose themselves that they really are polytheistic and really are teaching three God squad members. Something else to consider is that when people receive the Holy Ghost, they speak with other tongues. Yep. I know a lot of people fight against this because the devil's PR guys have found that the best way to keep people from seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to convince them that they already have it and then just hold them by their pride. But why would someone desiring and claiming a true biblical experience be so adamantly against such a basic biblical principle? Again, somebody's not being honest with themselves and a lot of other people. Acts 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Acts 19, 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Now, I've heard the devil's PR guys teaching that Paul didn't believe in tongues, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all." There are examples in the Bible where people received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in Jesus' name. There are also other examples where people were baptized in Jesus' name before they received the Holy Ghost. But if we look back, Jesus did not say that the order of the birth of water and Spirit was important. What's important here is the completeness. In John 3:5 again, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So whenever either ingredient of the Christian new birth was missing, the apostles immediately added the missing one. If a person was baptized in Jesus' name, then the apostles prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that also proves that people don't automatically receive the Holy Ghost when they, quote, believe, as some of Satan's PR guys teach. When people receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the apostles immediately baptized them in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, a lot of people say, "What? It doesn't say how they were baptized right there." It says, well, let me read it again. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, how did they know they'd received the word of God? Well, they knew because they obeyed and got baptized. And they got baptized in Jesus' name. Yep, they did. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, I told you they were baptized in Jesus' name. You thought I was just kidding, but I put it right there, verse 16. Anyway, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Notice they were even baptized. People teach us junk that you, whenever you believe, you automatically receive the Holy Ghost. I think the devil's just fishing for fools again there, because these people had even been baptized. The apostles even heard they'd received the word of God and even went down to them. And they still didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but they did. They did receive the Holy Ghost after they laid hands on them. Acts 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. I wonder how they knew they'd received the Holy Ghost. Well, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we know the apostles, Jesus' name baptism, Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. That was just how it was. And I tell you what, it's still how it is. God is no respecter of persons. His word is forever settled in heaven. He said, I changeth not. So how did the apostles know that the Gentiles had received the same Holy Ghost they had? Well, they heard them speak with tongues. But now think about this. Why would anyone who really loved God and the Bible fight so hard, as the devil's crowd do, against the basic Bible doctrines? Well, it's because many of them had become quite comfortable listening to Satan's sugar-coated lies, and Satan just uses their pride like strings to play with them like puppets. See, they think they're saved. They've been told some filthy false preachers done took their money, told them they're saved, and they've maybe cleaned up their life, maybe quit smoking or something. Some of them don't even do that. And then the devil just holds them like with their pride. It's like they're like puppets on a string, because to actually seek the Holy Ghost now, they'd have to admit they don't have it. They'd have to admit they were wrong. They're not going to do that. They'd rather go to hell. Not a good idea. Those who had even been baptized personally by John the Baptist were rebaptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. John's baptism was only for a temporary period of time. Jesus' name baptism does remit sins by the power of the shed blood of God. Reading in Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I guess they didn't automatically receive it, did they? Oh, well, But they didn't have the Baptist churches and then people teaching that garbage back then. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Notice that. As soon as Paul found out they didn't have the Holy Ghost, he questioned the validity of their baptism. Because everybody else he knew, you know, they usually get baptized, they receive the Holy Ghost. What's the matter with these guys? They don't have the Holy Ghost, never heard of it. Well, how were you baptized then? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So, with that verse 2 up there, how are Satan's PR guys still convincing people that they automatically receive the Holy Ghost when they first, quote, believe? Tell you, hell is going to have a big bunch of really embarrassed people. That's Acts chapter 9, chapter 19, verse 1. Why do people that claim to love God, claim to love the Bible, claim to love Jesus, and claim this and they claim that, and they hate the Word of God with a passion, and they hate the truth of God with a passion, and they hate Jesus' name baptism with a passion, and they hate the name of Jesus with a passion, and they hate the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues with a passion. But, oh, they want to be just good Christian people. And the devil's got his filth out there that are just more than happy to agree with them and preach the lies to them. How do you wash your sins away? Well, in Acts 22, verse 16, it says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So how does a person have their sins washed away? Clearly, it is by being baptized in Jesus' name, which is the method whereby one calls on the name of the Lord. And that's the reason why all Trinitarians will die in their sins, because they reject Jesus' name water baptism. How important is this? Colossians 2, verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Note the essentiality of both water and spirit. Buried with him in baptism. That's how you obey the gospel. Is the gospel not death, burial, resurrection? How are you going to obey that? You're buried with him in baptism. Romans 8 and 9. What about the Holy Ghost? It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Remember, this was written to Christians. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And notice here in Romans 8, verse 9, that the Bible speaks of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ as the exactly same Spirit. The Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ are interchangeable terms. And looking back to Jesus' words in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, how could Jesus have been more clear regarding the essentiality of Jesus' name baptism? So I think a lot of false Christians are simply not being honest with themselves. Make it worse, here's James 1 verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. John 3, 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, a man, not baby, notice that, stop there, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Remember here that Jesus was telling a grown man what he still needed to do in order to be saved. The grown man still had to be reborn of water and reborn of the Spirit. And that's totally consistent with the plan of salvation that the man with the keys to the kingdom preached on the birthday of the New Testament church. A little bit of review here. Remember, we're trying to figure out salvation. We want to know how to really be saved. We don't want to be coming up short in judgment. We want to be part of the church of the Bible. Matthew 16, 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then what did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? And that's why we're Pentecostal, because we preach the same message they preached on Pentecost. These Trinity filth in these Assembly of God cult and this Pentecostal holiness cult, they're not Pentecostal. They're not preaching the same thing that was preached on the day of Pentecost. They're not preaching Acts 2:38. They're lying to you. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now I know probably some of the devil's PR guys would question that they were baptized in Jesus' name. But the guy just preached to be baptized in Jesus' name. And it said 3,000 people obeyed. And that's how they knew they were receivers of the word. Some quick review here. Here's an example where the rebirth of water preceded the rebirth of the Spirit. Acts chapter 8, 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So see, there they are. They were baptized in Jesus' name before they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Then this next account is when the rebirth of the Spirit preceded the rebirth of water. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days, and we know that the name of the Lord is Jesus. Here's another where the rebirth of the water preceded the rebirth of the Spirit. And it came to pass, Acts 19:1, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, now notice this, when Paul told them to believe on Jesus, they said, believe on him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Very next verse, Acts 19:5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The apostles made sure that folks had been reborn both of the water and reborn of the Spirit. And the Acts 2:38 plan of salvation has always been adhered to by true Christianity. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And yet, the Satan's PR guys have got people convinced that there's nothing for them to obey. that if they obey anything, they're trying to be saved by works. How did the apostles know if someone was a believer or not? Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're baptized into Christ by being baptized in Jesus' name. Satan's got a lot of preachers out there telling a lot of people what they want to hear. But after their first 5 minutes or after their first 10 seconds in hell, they're going to be some mighty embarrassed people that they traded so much for so little. And some of the people in hell, the embarrassment that they paid so much good money to get there. But we're apostolic because we teach what the apostles did. We're Pentecostal because we teach the same message that was preached at Pentecost. It's really that simple. In closing, Hebrews 5, verse 9. And being made perfect, talking about Jesus here. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Salvation. All the churches claim to have it. But what are they teaching? It's time to get back to the Bible. It's time. If your religion does not match the religion I just preached to you tonight, then you're not a Christian. I don't care what any devil told you. The devil is a liar. Let us pray.